coming up on today's Compassion Radio. And they saw, wow, this is wonderful content. This gentleman not only sings, but boy, can he deliver a message.
That was exactly the thing.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do. And this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Welcome to Compassion Radio, friends. This is Cher Nelson joining you today, and we are coming to you with some very special programs this month because, as you may know, this is our anniversary month. And Jim Governale, you're joining me in the studio today.
Hello, Cher. Great to see you, as always.
Thank you very much. We want to reminisce a little bit, and it's important that you're here because you have been a part of Compassion Radio for so long now. We have to go back, though, way back to the beginning. We have so many new listeners, so many new stations since we've done an official anniversary program that we kind of want to take you through the whole history of what we came from, how we came from it, and who we are now. Jimmy, long before you and long before me, this program was on the air.
Oh, yes.
Many of our old-time listeners will remember Norm's father, Wilbur Nelson, who, of course, began the whole thing. Wilbur began in radio by singing in a quartet, and one of the other members of a quartet on a radio broadcast was Dr. Bob Pierce, who, of course, started World Vision.
A lot of people know that name.
They sure do. And the two of them, with the other members of the quartet, were heard quite frequently on the Haven of Rest program, which is now just called Haven.
Right, right.
At that time, First Mate Bob was the speaker on the program, and as you know, back in those days, daily radio was very daily. There was no recording. You did it live on the air. And there were times when First Mate Bob just needed some relief or needed a day off.
Right.
And so
he was out on the boat.
Perhaps he was. And so he would ask other people to fill in. Well, he asked Wilbur one day to fill in on the program and really liked him and began to use him quite frequently. Mm. Well, this put the bug in Wilbur's spirit, and
exactly.
God confirmed that by giving him some other opportunities. And so even as he was filling in on Haven of Rest now and then, he began his own broadcast, which was one day a week for 15 minutes.
And that was local right here in Southern California.
Exactly.
Where we're sitting right now.
Only on one station.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it was Wilbur gave a devotional. Wilbur's wife, my mother-in-law, Ethel, played the organ. And Norm, at 5 years old, gave the mail spot and would tell a short Bible story.
Mm.
It was a hit in Southern California, and as a result, they began to think about broadening broadcast. But they needed some funds in order to be able to go on other stations. Now,
right.
They were getting the time for 15 minutes free here in Southern California, but to go on another station would begin to cost money.
Mm.
So they prayed about it. And the most incredible thing happened. It was a story that Wilbur loved to tell, and I wish we had it recorded because he could tell it far better than I ever could. There was a lady who was from the San Francisco area, but she was visiting relatives here in Southern California and heard the program. And she was intrigued, partly with Wilbur's singing voice, which he did on the program, but also with his messages. And she wrote to him and said that she would like to leave him her estate.
Wow.
Well, she was quite elderly at that time, but she had been a vaudeville singer and actress. She played the accordion. The pictures we have of her are just a hoot. I mean, she was really something.
Hmm.
But a dedicated Christian and wanted to help Wilbur felt that God had told her to support him.
God bless her.
So, not very long after, she died, and she did indeed leave him her estate. What they didn't realize when they got the papers was that they had to go up to San Francisco. They had to sell all her belongings, sell the house.
Wow.
That was where the finances came from.
Uh-huh.
And she had been collecting memorabilia from her entire life.
Wow.
It was a house crammed with things. And the only thing they kept from it was an old pump organ. But Jimmy, I think you've at least seen the pictures. If you didn't see it in the house before they died,
okay,
the most magnificent ornate pump organ you've ever seen.
Wow.
And Norm's mother just simply could not bear to give that up. She just fell in love with this organ. So that's the only thing they kept. But the rest of it, they sold everything that they could possibly sell out of the house and sold the house. And with that money, they went on 5 new stations.
So this would have been like mid to late 1940s?
Yes. As they went on those stations, the word spread. And at that time, the National Religious Broadcasters began an organization and had a convention, and when the word got out to the station people who came to that convention that Wilbur had a broadcast, the station invitations began to come in heavily. Well, it grew and grew and grew, and grew then to a half-hour broadcast instead of the 15 minutes, and the morning chapel hour was fully launched.
And I can imagine the stations were, you know, similar to what a station would be looking for now. They're looking for good content to fill out the broadcast day. And they saw, wow, this is wonderful content. This gentleman not only sings, but boy, can he deliver a message.
That was exactly the thing. Wilbur had the best musical content of any broadcast. Now, very few had it. Haven of Rest had it, and there were a couple of others. But Wilbur was really a front runner in the contemporary Christian music scene, except that looking back on it now, it's very traditional. But then it was really cutting edge.
Right.
He had the best singers in Los Angeles and Hollywood, Christian singers that he could find. They did choral numbers. They did trios. They did quartets. They did solos, duets. And the program motto was songs and thoughts that touch the heart.
Okay.
So the musical numbers were interspersed with quotations, with scripture readings, with anecdotes, with any meaningful thing that Wilbur could put in between and therefore tie the songs together. So there was a theme for every program. Norm continued to be part of the broadcast post his Bible stories and Mail Spot. He did engineer through all of his junior high and high school days. And when he went off to college, then he was employed to find all those anecdotes that Wilbur used.
Oh, okay.
Because Wilbur, of course, was still pastoring the church, had all kinds of different things going, so he didn't have time to do all of that research and still prepare messages. So Norm found all of the little stories and poems and things that Wilbur used.
And Norm was an only child,
of
his mom and dad. So there he was helping the ministry even from afar.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Was always a part of the broadcast.
Right.
Well, he went off to be chaplain and professor at various universities in the East, ended up pastoring out there. And Wilbur began to think that he wanted to retire.
Mm.
Well, we know now that wasn't really where he was. He just wanted Norm to come back and succeed him in the ministry.
Right.
And he asked and asked and asked, and Norm was so thrilled with the work that he was able to do with students, high school, college, university students back there. And he didn't want to succeed his dad because of nepotism. He really felt that he wanted to make his own way with the Lord and know that he really had something to offer the broadcast. Well, strangely enough, as he was in Vermont, a radio station called him and said, "We've always had a Sunday morning program that one of the pastors has hosted, and that pastor is leaving here to go to another church, and we don't have anybody to fill in. Do you know anything about radio?"
Interesting.
Norm chuckled and said, "Well, a bit."
Yeah.
He went on to have a Sunday morning, which he pre-recorded, but a Sunday morning program in which he used music and anecdotes and short little devotionals.
That phone call was certainly a Holy Spirit-inspired moment there.
And the listenership to the program began to grow.
Wow.
The station began to get letters and calls, and it grew into something that they provided to other radio stations in the area free of charge. Mm. And Norm began to get the message from the Lord that, yes, Norm,
you've got a bug for this radio thing too, Norm. Come on now.
You do have the gift. You do have the heart for it. Come on home.
Right.
Well, then Wilbur started a television program, and that's what really hooked Norm.
Wow.
He thought, that I could really get into. So he came back, and this was on TBN, once a week, half hour, and it was called Faith That Sings, and they did basically the radio program on television.
Wow.
They did songs, they did little devotionals, and Norm loved it. TBN had great response for the program. Everything was going well. Probably were on the air about 2 years when one day Wilbur, Norm's dad, walked into the office and said, "Our TV career is over. We're not doing that anymore." And that was it.
Wow.
Norm was aghast and tried to talk to him. But
what happened?
Wilbur was tired of having to drive back and forth to TBN.
Okay.
Listeners might as well know the whole truth. He loved puttering. He loved hanging around the office, fixing sprinklers that were broken, fighting with the gophers that were eating his lawn. We had a printing press at that time where we printed all of our own material, and he loved tinkering with the printing press, which he had done before he became a Christian. He was definitely in the printing business and enjoyed it. He was losing all that time that he loved, so he simply said, "We don't do television anymore," and that was the end. Well, Norm was not real happy, but there wasn't much he could do. So he kind of bartered with Wilbur for, if we were going to stop doing the television program, could he have one day a week where it was just him, not sharing the microphone with his dad, but just one day a week when he could do more of a message, not so much songs and interruptions and things, but just do a message.
Right, right.
And Wilbur agreed to that. So on Fridays, Norm started doing a full message, and people responded to it very well. So then Wilbur saw that there was great response to it, so he gave him Tuesday and Friday, and Norm was very happy with that, very satisfied, and continued to find other material for his dad, but did two messages a week. Well, then it grew to Wilbur decided that it was kind of nice to have a few days off, so he gave him 3 days, and that lasted for quite some time.
Oh, okay.
Well, over the years, and you might as well chuckle with me, audience, we gave Wilbur 3 retirement parties.
Oh.
He would announce a date that he was going to retire.
Ah.
We would give him a party. We would all celebrate. And the next morning, he would come back to the office as though nothing had happened.
Oh, my goodness.
Continued. He was a warhorse. He loved having that outlet to be able to share in a different way than he could in the pulpit.
Exactly. And once you get that radio bug in your bloodstream, you know, I mean, it certainly bit me back in my high school days.
Did it really?
I can understand that. Yeah.
Well, it's funny because you don't really hear yourself on the radio. Most days it's on when you're either preparing to go to work or you're at work. So most of the time you don't hear yourself, and yet you get the delayed response from your audience. And it really touches your heart when you hear from people that are listening and that something meant something to them, changed something they thought, confirmed something they believed, whatever it is they have to say. It is so touching, but it's very delayed because it takes time to write and mail it in, and you don't ever see anybody that you're speaking to.
And radio, you know, it really is such an intimate medium from the standpoint of, you know, people listen in their cars, in their office, in their homes, wherever they are, and they're listening one at a time. It's not like folks are gathered in an auditorium necessarily listening to a radio show. Well, maybe, I'm sure it happens somewhere, but it really is that one-on-one factor that I'm sure that Wilbur was able to tap into and Norm certainly tapped into for many, many years.
It is very personal. You don't have to look at anybody else enjoying it. Norm loved to get the letters that said, "I feel like I'm sitting across the breakfast table from you,
exactly,
sharing a cup of coffee.
Exactly.
You're talking to me." And I have to go back to my childhood. I had breakfast with Wilbur Nelson every morning of my life.
Amazing.
My parents listened to the program. It was at the time when I was getting ready for school, but having breakfast. And I know that I listened to it all year round, but what I remember the most is winter mornings and having cream of wheat while listening to Wilbur Nelson.
Amazing. Wow. I've never heard that before.
Such a part of my life. And my parents met Wilbur. My grandparents lived in California. And when they first moved to California, my mother wrote to Wilbur and asked for a suggestion as to what church they might attend, gave him the address of where they were moving to, and wanted to know what was in that area. And Wilbur was very helpful in helping them find a church. It was too far from his, unfortunately, for my grandparents to go, but he found them a good home base. And the next visit we had to California, when Wilbur was in correspondence with my mother, he said, "Please come visit us if you come to California." So on a whim, my dad called just to see and said, you invited us to get in touch with you when we came to California. We're here, and we'd just like to come to your service. And Wilbur, of course, invited them and said, please go to lunch with us after church.
Nice.
We'd love to meet you. Well, now, I remember as a probably 4 or 5 year old girl going to this luncheon, and a teenage boy in a very dour mood sitting across from me. And I'm thinking, what a grouchy guy this is.
Oh, my.
He obviously had other plans than going to lunch with people he didn't know.
Oh. And his name happened to be
Norm, yes.
Wow.
Well, my parents continued a friendship with them, but I don't remember seeing Norm again then in any of those visits.
In a grouchy mood.
Well,
as a teenager,
he had other plans and was told, no, you're going to brunch with us.
That is such a neat story. Wow.
So anyway, all of us have that special intimate relationship with those voices that we hear on the radio. So back to the transition here, when Wilbur really understood that the audience was responding deeply to Norm, he finally made a transition to, he did Fridays and Norm did Monday through Thursday. He also did a Saturday program, which ran on the local station, but then as that began to be popular, other stations picked that up and ran it on Saturday mornings or Sunday mornings, whichever. And that lasted him almost until he died. Probably 2 or 3 months short of his death, he was still broadcasting those weekend programs.
Right, right.
In the meantime, while Norm was doing, you know, ramping up on programs, he had been doing a lot of short-term missions work with taking high school kids or college-age kids to various mission fields or around the country to work with Navajo Indian youth or the Big Thompson Canyon flood. He took a group and they worked all summer repairing things. He really was into mission work. And that was my whole background. So we began to think, when Norm now was doing 4 days a week, that we wanted to create more of a mission-focused program. And we began to do that, knowing that changes in a broadcast are never popular. I mean, consider even Dr. Dobson, when he changed his 8-bar theme at one time, almost lost his whole audience because they were so used to that sound of that theme.
That's right.
People don't like change. And we knew that we had to do it very carefully, but we really felt convicted that, well, here was the thing. You can listen to Christian radio 24 hours a day, and you can hear and hear and hear. And we began to be convicted that our voice needed to be at least one voice to say, let's do. Be doers of the word, not hearers only.
Right.
And we began to try to find programming that encouraged people to do the word in various ways. Mm. Well, we weren't totally happy with the idea. I mean, God just kept us really unsettled about just sitting in California and doing radio. And we wanted to branch out, but we didn't really know how to do it. And at that time, we had been asked to go to both Hong Kong and Korea for anniversaries of things that Wilbur had created. Now, when the communists took over in China, there were so many families and children that fled across the border into Hong Kong. And many families sent their children across, thinking that they could get their children to safety and then follow them, but then were not able to follow them. And there were tons of orphan children on the streets in Hong Kong. Wilbur built a Christian orphanage there. And I don't know how many hundreds and hundreds of kids went through that orphanage, but it was the 35th anniversary of the beginning of that orphanage. At the same time, Wilbur, 10 years later, had built an auditorium for a Christian girls' school in Busan, Korea, because the girls had to sit outside cross-legged on the ground to have any kind of chapel service or program. And he was there to speak and saw them sitting there suffering in the sun, just so hot having to listen to him. So he raised the money to build this wonderful auditorium, which became a focal point for the whole city of Busan. These anniversaries were coming up, and Wilbur and Ethel had been invited to go and were not well enough to go, so we had been asked. Well, Norm was not interested much in Asia. He was really focused on Central South America, Africa. But I had been, and I knew that if we got him to Asia, that he would lose his heart to people. And I particularly told him, if we can get across the border into China and you can meet any Christians there, you will it will change your life.
Mm.
So with reluctance, he went. And that, Jimmy, was the beginning of all of the change.
Right.
And I know we're out of time for today, but I hope you'll come back tomorrow, friends. I want to take you through the rest of the story. There's so much that God has done that we never expected, that we could never even have hoped for. And I just hope you'll join us and hear more about what God's done through Compassion Radio.
Well, thank you so much, Cher. I know we're just literally days away. I believe March 25th is the day, right? Of the official anniversary of Compassion Radio, dating back to the first broadcast in 1944, when it wasn't called Compassion Radio yet, at least at that point. But we're wrapping up to a very special anniversary. We want to just celebrate that. And we're also going to touch a little bit on what Bram has been up to, really bringing some incredible adventures. And we look forward to having him share what he's doing right now overseas. So we'll be talking more about that. Thanks so much, Cher.
Thanks, Jimmy. Reminiscing is fun, and it's fun doing it with you. I hope people will join us tomorrow.
And there it is, our theme music on this very program, going back several decades from Wilbur Nelson and the Chapel Singers. The song, It Is Morning. That's the same song that Cher and millions of others would wake up to each day on the morning chapel hour. I hope you enjoyed today's broadcast with Cher Nelson as we took a look back on this Ministry of Compassion Radio in approaching a pretty big milestone. Don't miss tomorrow's broadcast as Cher and I continue with this trip down memory lane. Friend, we are literally just days away from celebrating our 74th anniversary here at Compassion Radio. We certainly do thank the Lord for you, especially those who support this ministry have again proven themselves faithful. It's a wonderful thing. For it's not only an act of faith in supporting this ministry, but we here live by faith. We don't know what kind of resources are going to come in month to month. We have no way to orchestrate that. We really are at the discretion of God and the Holy Spirit, prompting the hearts of people and their faithful response. This isn't a business. This is a ministry. And frankly, we are at the discretion of God. If the Lord chooses to bring more, we have more. If He chooses, for whatever reason, to bring in less, we have less. But it seems in the end, God has continually laid upon the hearts of faithful people what we need. This generous, gracious giving does not go unnoticed. To that end, here's one last important word from Bram Floria.
Hi, friends. I'm in Cairo, Egypt, as I record this. Why Egypt? Well, like we often do, we travel as guests of our partner ministries so we can bring you the most current and powerful stories of God's hand at work. I covet your prayers as I spend the next few weeks traveling through the Middle East and North Africa. As with anything important and worth doing, there's always some spiritual kickback. And as I'm recording this, the devil's really hitting us in the pocketbook. Right now, listener support for this unique radio ministry is at an all-time low. Frankly, if we're to continue, we need to see a serious rebound in giving, and we need to see it soon. Now, what will your gift do? Well, far more than just keeping us on the air. Our partners have enabled us to provide hundreds of thousands of Bibles to new believers in China and other booming Christian nations. Together, we provided relief and desperately needed supplies to refugees from dozens of world conflicts and natural disasters. And coming up this year, we'll award the very first Norm Nelson Religious Freedom, Faith, and Dignity Award to honor and empower the work of courageous believers around the world. And your gifts make it possible for us to go find all the stories and transformational interviews you hear every day on this station. Friends, we need your support, and we need it now. Can I count on you to contact us today to let us know that you're standing with us? Jimmy has some info on the unique and special thank you this month for your gift of support.
For your gift this month, we'd love to send you the first part of a new companion study to an upcoming series on the book of Ecclesiastes. It's available in PDF format by email or printed and mailed. The full study will be available this spring. Ask for your Section 1 today by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. By mail, contact us at Compassion Radio, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And, of course, you can find us online safe and secure at CompassionRadio.com. That phone number once more, 1-800-868-2478. I'm Jim Governale. On behalf of Bram, Cher, and the entire Compassion Radio team, have a wonderful day in the Lord. And we'll see you again next time with more Compassion Radio.